listening to Family Business with Daphne. Another opportunity to learn and grow together, to build, to start and excel at family business. You are at the right place, the right channel, KDKI 103.9 FM. Welcome. I'm so excited. I have just been having an amazing journey so far. I'm learning a lot. This is kind of a self-interest show for me because I have the opportunity to meet and greet all of you around the world who are passionate about being more and doing more. For some reason, you've just not bought into the lie that you can't do this. You've sort of started thinking,
Didn't all of our community start out this way with that lone family that decided, let's fill a need, let's generate economic activity, not only for ourselves, but for our neighbors? And didn't that work really well? And didn't they then turn around and transfer it to the next generation and it just continued on and on and on? Yes, that's real history, folks. That's how it happened, and that's how it needs to happen again. And I'm so excited today because I had an opportunity to interview someone who I definitely think is an icon in terms of family business, John Evans of D.L. Evans Bank. I want you to check out the interview I did with him, and then we're going to discuss it further after the show. It's amazing, this interview. First of all, he is a fourth, not one, not two, not three, but fourth generation business owner in the banking industry of all things, right? So definitely we have to listen up. And then after that, we have his children entering the fifth generation. And then he had an opportunity to work with his father in business, former governor of Idaho. How exciting. You'll get to learn a little insight tip that he shares during the interview about working and living very close to his father. And of course, as we've learned in all of these businesses, there is a powerful woman behind the scenes, his wife, who has been so supportive and instrumental to his success. And I want to address that, you know, family business, if it's the type of family where it's a marital relationship, there are all sorts of family businesses. I've interviewed brothers in family business. But if you have a marital relationship, I want to make sure that I emphasize that there's usually that person behind the scenes, you know, the wife or the husband, but they are absolutely an integral part of making that family run, which is crucial to any success in family business. And two, they're often doing everything from A to Z in the business. They're picking up the slack. They're filling in the void. They are the temporary worker until someone else gets employed. So I don't want you to ever feel that you're not important because you may not be in the limelight. We all know or should understand that really without you and the help that you do behind the scenes, that there's no family business. It's not happening. So take a moment to pat that person on the back, give them a big hug, take them out on a date night, whatever, pay them, hello, and show them your gratitude for being your support system. So let's listen to John Evans talk about his family business adventure.
The number one question I get when I talk about family business is, family business will destroy my family relationship. What's your response to that? What has your experience been?
Family business, I think, strengthens a family. You know, I started with the bank in 1979, and my kids were all small when we moved here. I was trained at another institution, and came to Burley and opened the second office here in our. And I've had my three boys, JV, Jim, and Richard. All three start out real young, sweeping the parking lot over there when they were real small. And they were part of the growing up in the family business and the family bank. I always told those boys they have to start the ground level, and they did by pulling weeds and sweeping the parking lot. And because you have to, even though that's part of your business, is you've got to make sure it looks, your parking lot looks good. You can't have litter all trashed all through the area. And so I've had all three of my kids do start out there, pulling weeds, picking up garbage. And so they all got involved in the bank at a young age and then went on into teller They worked on the teller line. I had them work during the summer times, during high school and junior high, actually. We had them working when they were really young here at the bank. But it strengthens a family because we were all part of the bank, and they are today still all part of the bank. They're fifth generation bankers. I'm fourth generation. And you've maybe done some history of D11, so you know that he started several banks here in Idaho. Ireland Bank down in Malad. He started that bank in 1892, I believe. And he started banks and had 13 banks going at one time, and the Depression wiped out a lot of the banks. But D11 stayed in business in Albion. And you've been to Albion?
No.
Well, it's up in the mountain right up there. See the Mount Harrison right up here?
Yeah.
Okay, you just go around that, go around Declo and go around to City. Have you been to City of Rocks?
No.
You want to go around to see Albion.
Okay.
And the City of Rocks. And then you go through Oakley. You can make a loop around. They've got a motel and
really?
If you like to rock climb.
Yeah.
You're a rock climber.
Yes.
They've got some tremendous rock features out there called the City of Rocks. But make that trip.
Yes.
Make that trip. Okay.
Yes, I will.
Then you can
I
see
will.
Albion and see our first bank. The old bank is still there. We have the post office in the old bank. But we built a new bank up in Albion in the 60s. So
that's amazing.
But it strengthens families, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. overall.
And you all do so much in terms of community development. What is that link between being a family business and developing the community?
Well, you have to be a strong supporter of your community. We finance all the community projects. We finance everybody in the community. And the more involved you can be in the community, the better off you are. You get more contacts. We're there to help people. You know, that's what our business is to help people reach their dreams, that's what bankers are supposed to do. We loan up and down Main Street in every one of our communities that we're at. We have 26 branch locations now, and so we've got a pretty good basis in small business, and we try to take care of people's needs and what their dreams are.
Tell me the role of your wife in this.
Well, my wife, Karen, she actually worked for the bank for a period of time. She was a teller, customer service representative, and I think she worked for about 10 years. Then she decided to pursue other deals. And a lot of times it is difficult when you have husband and wife working. There are sometimes issues that come up that it's not as healthy as you'd like it. And, you know, sometimes you never get work. You go home and you're still working, see? And
yes.
So she got out of the banking business. She's been a very important part of my life. Of course, I've been married a long time to Karen.
And, how long?
She's born. I was married in 71, so that's a long time.
Oh my goodness!
40-something years.
So. That's amazing. Oh my goodness! Okay.
Yeah, we were pretty young at that time.
Mm-hmm. So, would you advise a husband and wife team to go into business together? Why or why not?
Well, I would. I think it depends on what kind of business you're at. If you can be independent, you work as a team. I think it's great. When you get in a bigger company and you make it's more difficult to work. You can do it, but it you never get out of working. And sometimes you like to get away from totally working. Mm-hmm. And if you're working together all the time, it's difficult mm-hmm. To get away from business. Most of the time, you never get away from business.
Yes.
You're always out there promoting and trying and being involved. But my wife Karen goes on all the functions with me, and so she's part of that. She doesn't have to work anymore. She's working at home, and that's a full-time job for her. So, mm-hmm. She's been a very important part of my success in banking. She kept pushing, said, "You can do it, John." You know, the times were tough, and it takes a lot of hard work and dedication to have a successful business. And small business, you have to work almost twice as hard to keep up because you don't have the economies of scale, and you don't have the other advantages the big businesses have. You got to do it yourself. So we've been able to do that here at D11s, and I hired my dad. You knew my dad, Governor John Evans.
Yes.
We hired him in after he was governor for 10 years, and that was a great time to work with him over those last 26 years that I worked with my dad here at the bank.
What was his winning interview question that made you hire him back?
Well, he was whenever you have, you always like to hire the brightest people you can hire.
Yes.
But when you have workaholics and bright people, that makes a really good
combination. I love
it. Good combination. And Dad was a worker. He never stopped working. And he was a very personable guy and a very bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would work. When he passed away this summer, I received so many cards and letters of people that he touched their lives over his lifetime. And so it was really quite exciting. And to be able to work with him here was just tremendous. Tremendous experience for me and my kids. We lived right next door to each other. They'd come over when they'd want to, and it worked out very well. We enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. My kids enjoyed it.
I love it.
So.
And that was, you said 46?
26.
What is the best business lesson you learned from your dad?
I think you have to work hard. I think work ethic is really important. You have to have good people. You have to hire the best people you can hire. You're only as good as the weakest link that you have. And we try to hire the best, and we do hire the best. I think that's some of the important things that he really taught me is the work ethic. And you have to treat people with respect all the time. You never shortchange respect for people. And you try to have them reach their dreams, because they're coming in here to buy a house or buy a car or buy something, and they really you're helping them reach those dreams, and it's very rewarding to be able to make a difference with people. When I started out, I helped people, and they're very successful today, and it's nice. It's really cool talking to them about. If you hadn't made me that loan, that beginning loan, I wouldn't have been able to get started. But it takes a lot of hard work for small businesses because you just don't have, you have to be a jack of all trade. You have to know the law. You have to know HR. You have to know your business. You have to know sales. And there's just so much to learn. But it's very rewarding. It's with the hard work, you get rewards with all that hard work and success. But you have to keep going. You can't stop. Every day's a new day.
Yes. A lot of the challenges you've highlighted are definitely challenges that small business face. Now, compound that with family business. Are there unique challenges you've had to overcome as a family business in terms of marketing or strategic planning or?
Well, I don't think there's the challenges of running any business. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's, I think a lot of times when you hire like children,
yes,
there's some people take resentment from that. Other employees.
That's come up a lot. Yes.
They mm-hmm. say, "Well, you're giving him a break, or you're giving him a, mm-hmm. a better salary, better whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as good as I am, and as another banker. But so I tell my family members that we hire that they have to work twice as hard as everybody else,
mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to have them say have any employees say that. We just given those kids a break and given them a better opportunity. They have to prove themselves, and there's no guarantee of success. It takes hard work. It takes continued education to be successful. You can't just think it's going to be successful and then sit back and just enjoy. You have to keep working every day. It doesn't stop.
What is your vision, if any, for the future of family business in Idaho? Do you believe that that should be something that any of us should really give our attention to and try to work towards? If so, why? If not, why not?
I think yes. I think it's so important. I think the future is great for small business. I think if you work hard and you have a niche to what a product that, because the rewards of having a successful small business are tremendous. You know, the be able to hire your children and your grandchildren and keep it going. And when you're competing against huge banks all over the country, it's very, very difficult to keep up with everything. But it's from a standpoint of banking, but from standpoint of small business, the rewards just, I think, totally outnumber the failures of or the. But it takes a lot of work, and you make a lot of mistakes. A lot of times, people fail first time. You know, if you read the history of Jack Simplot, you know, I think he had a few failures in his day in his some of his businesses. They're not always home runs, and you have to step back in and work. You know, if you do fail in one business, you can still come back and do it again. Mm-hmm. You can have a better idea and pursue your dreams, because you know that's what it's all about. Is if you have a good idea and it makes sense and it can make you some money, then that the rewards are just tremendous when it comes to having a small business and running a small business.
That's amazing. I have to ask, because you've said this a lot, what is your dream? You're helping others accomplish their dream. What is your dream?
Well, you know, I enjoy working with my family. Mm-hmm. It's and my family is not only my three boys, but it's my bank family.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got a lot of people. I enjoy the interactions with people. I enjoy, you know, we have a lot of loan requests. I enjoy getting involved with the approval of the loans, and I don't know, when you're a banker and you're involved in the community and you're involved with different organizations, it's just the rewards are just tremendous, and they outnumber the problems. And but for me, it's just to keep going and keep you know, I'm getting to the age, I'm 63 years old, so I'm my dad worked till 82. So, and he would have continued to work if but he had a hip replacement and didn't take, and had troubles with that, never did regain his strength and stuff after that. But so maybe I'll work another 10 or 20 years, but probably another 10 years, probably when I'd let the rest of somebody else in the business take over.
I would love to know the day in the life of a family business owner. How do you do your day? When do you start work? How early? I start at 3 a.m. and everyone thinks I'm insane.
Well, 3 a.m. is insane.
I know, but I'm a mom of four and I'm like, how else would I have quiet time?
Yeah, that's the only quiet time you have. That's short term, right?
That is short, yes, yes. Until they can get up. And I'm also a homeschool mom.
Oh, you are home. Wow, you are busy and working too. So.
Yes, yes, I do work primarily at home, only if I'm out on appointments.
I find that when you get up early, you get up early. And it just gets your time machine inside of you.
Yes.
And it's when you start getting up at 3 o'clock, you're up every.
At 3 o'clock, automatically. 3 o'clock. Yes. It makes for an early bedtime, of course. But.
I'm on one of the Federal Reserve Council called the CDAC, and what they are is a Community Depository Institution Council, and I'm chairman of that council, and it's a community bank and credit union council that we advise the Federal Reserve on banking, community banking, and then I go back to Washington, D.C. because I happen to be chairman of that committee, that council, and I go back and meet with Ben Bernanke when he was here. Now I go back in a month and meet with Janet Yellen and the Board of Governors to give them input about what's happening in small business. And so we're giving them advice on small business, small banking, the challenges that are out there in the business, because there are tremendous challenges in banking.
They are.
You've got regulations that are just so many new regulations are coming in. You realize there are over 40 pages of documents you have to sign if you get a home loan? Pages.
That's a lot.
Like,
A lot.
Who reads those?
40 pages. Well, and I do. I would.
40 pages, little tiny print.
I know.
Nobody reads them. Nobody
so
in there.
Bad.
You might have one in a million read those things.
Yeah.
Because you fall asleep before you get
before
to it.
Before you get to it. And me, my former career, I used to be an attorney. So as soon as I get fine print, I'm like, I love that. Well, so do you talk about also just the state of small business, period, or is it only banking related?
No, it's mainly they want information about the economy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the inflation? Are you seeing inflation?
Okay.
Are you seeing other things that are going to be disrupting of the community?
Okay.
Of your area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They want to know about agriculture. They want to know about any issues that are out there that are disruptive or that are booming.
And there you have it. So not only is he building upon the foundation of a thriving banking business, one that he has set up and, you know, can expect to transfer leadership to his children, but then he's going beyond the borders of business, if you will, and participating in policy. And I'm sure at the end of the day, it's still the same vision of improving the lives of others. And whether you do that on an individual basis by providing loans and general banking services, or a more community or statewide or nationwide basis of ensuring that all of us as family business owners can have equal opportunity and access and the ability to grow a thriving business, he's about that, and he can do that. And that's the rewards of being an entrepreneur. Well, there's so much to take in from that. So when we take a break, when we come back, we'll be sure to flesh it out a little bit more. What do you need to succeed? What can we learn from Mr. Evans? See you on the other side.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Hey, there's my son.
Hey, Dad.
What's wrong with your voice?
There is nothing wrong with my voice.
Well, it's just sort of...
Hello, Dad.
Susan? Guys, I think it's about time to get in the car and... maybe see some green things.
What are these green things you speak of?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take a deep breath in and let go of the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you hit that piñata into your neighbor's yard. Let it go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Again, you're listening to Family Business with Daphne. We're back. And if you just haven't had enough, and of course, how could you? Be sure to follow me on all of my social media platforms and on my blog. I really do delve into a lot more material in terms of helping you to grow and start your family business. You can find me at DaphneMallory.blogspot.com. Like me on Facebook. I have a fan page, Daphne Mallory Entrepreneur. I'm on LinkedIn, on Twitter, etc., etc. And I do everything from posting entrepreneurship education projects, ideas, to legal tips, publicity tips. People say, how is it that you're getting into media? As I'm sitting here recording this today with you, I'm actually being featured on the Dr. Oz show somewhere. I've got to go check that out when I'm done with this broadcast. But there are definitely ways to get yourself into the media. And that's my number one marketing tip and strategy for family business owners. People want to see you. They're intrigued. It's like a reality show, you know? Take advantage of that. Absolutely. Dominate your niche, and you can do that by publicity. And you can definitely listen to a previous show I've done on that, on growing your family business with publicity. But let's go back to Mr. Evans. I heard a lot of interesting things that I'm going to implement to grow my own family business. The first thing you heard, did you catch it? Continued education. I mean, don't you stop at 12th grade? I don't know. Did you stop learning? Of course not. Or don't you stop learning once you've got that degree, even a doctorate degree? Of course not. If you are an entrepreneur, your journey means lifelong learning. It never stops. It's on and on. You're reading. You're researching. You need to know what the competition is doing. You need to know the top innovative strategies in your dominion, in your domain, whatever that is, in your niche, as Mr. Evans called it. And so how are you taking advantage of continuing education? For me, I am a big trainings girl. I'm actually a trainer. I train for a nationwide seminars company, and I get to travel to different cities, and I train on different subject matters. And when I'm not training other people, other managers and CEOs and business owners, guess what I'm doing? I'm getting trained. I find opportunities online. I find opportunities. I'm part of a training rewards membership for the training company I work with, where there are 2,700 on-demand courses I can take on my mobile phone. And if you'd like to learn more about that, go to my blog, DaphneMallory.blogspot.com, and I can share that information with you. But yeah, I don't stop training. I don't stop learning. The moment I stop learning, my business dies. That's my attitude. And I try to instill that in my children. And so for you, some of you, you may have to learn. It may be mandatory for your certification, for your degree. But if you don't have that outside pressure of having a CLE or CEU, what are you doing to invest in yourself to continually learn all the time? You need to keep up with your industry. You need to keep up with the marketing and strategic tactics that are out there so that you can win. Family business is about winning. Let's face it, okay? I don't care if you are not competitive, although I doubt it. I've yet to meet an entrepreneur who's not competitive. I think there are introvert entrepreneurs, but they're competitive inside. But the extroverts seem to show it well. But yeah, you're a competitor when you're an entrepreneur. And to win, you need to know how to win in your market, in your niche, and you need to know how others are winning to either duplicate that or surpass that, period. You need continuing education. The other thing I heard from Mr. Evans, he mentioned hard work. hard work. What does that look like? Well, a lot of people ask me when I'm out and about, okay, I don't get it. You homeschool, you have a family business. Every once in a while, you seem to be traveling. You are doing radio, this, and social media, that, and you're writing for Entrepreneur Magazine and blogging and on and on and on and on. Yeah, that would be hard work. You know, it takes a lot of work to push an idea into the marketplace. The idea that I'm trying to push into the marketplace is that family business is here. It's for now. And if you catch the vision, and you'd better catch the vision, get on board, because it is the future. And it takes a lot of work to push that into the marketplace. Perhaps your work is a social business effort. Perhaps you are trying to alleviate a social society ill in your community, in your nation. That takes a lot of work. You're going to be up. You're going to be out. You're going to be networking. You're going to be raising funds. You're going to be talking to people and trying to change their mindset. You're going to be serving clients and customers. That's a lot of work. Maybe your work is opening up a food shop or mobile shop or store, clothing store, providing consulting services, running a media empire. You're doing a lot of hard work. And you can't stop and you can't give up. And really, honestly, you can't let up. Now, nothing I just said says, you know, abandon your family. Please do not hear that. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you do work, and there are seasons to things, right? If you just delivered a baby, you're not putting in 14-hour workdays right now in your business, right? If you are homeschooling, still have children underfoot, you're not putting in a 12, 14-hour workday. But when you're putting in 50-minute spurts 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day, you had better be working hard. I mean, all out. You should be exhausted. And what do I mean by that? What is this 50-minute? I have found through research and through my own personal practice that if I could just focus on a task, hit it hard for 50 minutes, and then take a break for 10 minutes, I'm good. I will do double, sometimes triple the work, as opposed to just having these long, dragged out sessions and not taking a mental break or physical break, right? So make sure that you find out what works for you, find out your rhythm. But yeah, the name of the game in family business, it's hard work. But you see the rewards. You saw what he said, right? Working with his children, the opportunity to transfer business to your grandchildren, working with his father. He is reaping the rewards. I'm sure if you ran into Mr. Evans and said, what's the most rewarding part of your business? Is it making money or is it being with your family? I'm sure the latter, working with his family, the pride in transferring leadership to his children, I'm sure, and his wife and supporting her through business, I'm sure that would be his answer. And when he's on his deathbed, when we are all on our deathbed, hopefully we can say, okay, I did the work that God created me to do, and I built up something that I could leave, a legacy that I could transfer that improved my community and, best of all, helped my family in the process. Oh, my goodness. If I could say that, I would have done the work I was supposed to do. I would be so happy, and I will leave with a smile on my face. But I've got work to do in between then, right? So, and that's what we're all working towards. Then I also heard him say niche, N-I-C-H-E. Now, what was he talking about? You've got to figure out what you were called to do. What area of work were you called to do? And whatever it is, you need to be the leader in that niche, that area. Now, what's interesting when I speak to my peers, and I have weekly debates on this topic, people feel called to an area of work. And then they immediately say, well, it's good work, so it must be nonprofit. Now, for all of my nonprofit peeps out there, you know I love you. I sit on boards. I love nonprofits. I am not anti-nonprofits. But what I hope people would know is that, believe it or not, entrepreneurship and family business can be a vehicle for anyone who wants to have a income and make positive change at the same time. Oh, get out. Did I just say that? Entrepreneurship isn't evil. No. Family business is not evil. No. Making money is not greedy and you know, just self-serving and just bad. No. Entrepreneurship, especially family business, is a great way to do good work in a niche that you are called to. So for those of you who are struggling with this in your mind, and I know you are because you debate me all the time on this, think about a way to solve problems, make money in a process, and deliver it right back to the people that you care about. Did you not hear Mr. Evans say, we lend money to you, people in our community? Don't you think some of those people are the most vulnerable? Don't you think those are some people in our community who would want to be more and do more, who need to be uplifted out of poverty? I would think so. We can at least agree, a few at least, right? Isn't that good work? But he's not a nonprofit. So figure out a niche, a work that you're called to, and look at entrepreneurship and family business as a vehicle to accomplish that. Now, what do we mean by niche, though? Let's delve into this a little bit further, right? You can figure out, if I am called in the fashion industry or movie making business or creating widgets, finding out a new agricultural application that would save the industry tons of money and be safer for everyone. I mean, there's all types of niches you can dominate. And you should dominate. And I believe family business is the best vehicle to dominate because you're pulling together with the people you love, right? So find that niche that you're called to, as he suggested, for his niches is he's in the business. Mr. Evans said, right? You heard him. In the business of making dreams come true. And he does that through loans and other services. So my niche, I'm in the business of inspiring, motivating, but first and foremost, giving the strategies, training, and help needed for families to grow businesses that transfer to the next generation and for generations to come. That's my niche. So what does that mean? What does that look like? You're going to see me talk about it, take photos about it, create projects around it, write about it, talk about it, talk some more about it, do videos about it. I'm trying to push my ideas around this niche. I'm growing income around this niche so that I can deliver it right back to the people that I want to serve. So what's your niche? Think about what it is you are called to do. Okay, what is she talking about? She keeps saying call to do. You could sit there and go on the internet and research, I don't know, 500 startup ideas. You're welcome to do that. But hey, let me tell you from experience and from people that I've spoken to, life is too short. And why waste your time testing out ideas that you were never supposed to be a part of? Waste money, waste energy. Okay. And then you sell your family in on it and you decide, not for me. And they're going, okay, not doing family business again. But if you are called to do it, you have this yearning in your heart, this problem that you keep seeing over and over. You think to yourself, well, why don't they, you know, the infamous they, just do this? Why hasn't someone invented this? That music is awful. Why isn't my music out there? Or, you know, I've written this, you know, on and on and on. The things that are bugging you that you have a solution to, and you notice a pattern, they seem to be around a certain industry or work, that's usually a clue. Explore that further. The other thing I heard him say is that you must pursue the dream. It's not enough to hear me talk about family business, see me write about it on my blog, online, in columns, nationwide, international now, actually, and say, oh, that's just fantastic. Someday, maybe. One day, maybe. No, no, no. You need to pursue. You need to put feet to it. You need to actually make that decision to do it with your family on a day-to-day basis. You know, as I counsel families and talk to other successful families as well, that's it. It's that daily, consistent, one step at a time towards that big dream or vision. you know, it isn't, you know, oh, it's a great idea and just passively just loving it and enjoying it and being inspired but doing nothing with it. No, it is the daily steps and actions you need to take. What I have done, what's worked for me, is I've written down 5 things that I do on a daily basis. I must do these 5 things every single day. And I post it on Facebook for people to see and share and copy and run off with it and develop even more ideas around it. I call them my daily to-do list. I also post it on LinkedIn and on my blog. And so, for example, every day I must engage the media because that's how I push my business forward. So I try to get covered by television, radio, newspaper, magazine, talk radio, whatever it is. I must do some activity that generates publicity. A second thing that I do that I must do every single day is I must contact at least 5 people to try to book a training engagement. Okay, so that's me picking up the phone. I know, picking up the phone and calling other businesses to try to book a training so that they can have me come and speak for 3 hours, 6 hours, 1 day, 2 day on a particular topic matter that has to do with leadership or management, sales or writing, all of these things that I have expertise in. But I must make that contact or guess what? My business ain't moving forward that day. So I have to do that. That's a must on a daily basis. Another thing that I must do every day to push my business forward is, again, I pick up the phone and I network with 5 additional professional owners that are not looking for training, but I need to network with them because we're all moving in the same direction. I've been blessed in my life that I've had an opportunity to go to 2 great schools. I graduated from Brown University. I graduated from UNC Chapel Hill Law School. And we've got great alumni all around the world. It would be foolish of me not to reach out to alum. And so I do that on a daily, weekly basis. And we connect because we're all achieving the same goals, but we have that commonality of going to these schools together. And so who do you need to contact on a daily basis? Who's in your alumni network, in your service club network, in your church network? Okay, did she say church? Yes, I did. Oh my goodness, did I just say something that's going to ban me from church? Should we be mixing church and spirituality? Oh my, who is your family beyond your immediate family if it's not your church members, right? At least it should be. It's a family business, right? Okay, so I'm not telling you to abuse your relationships of church. Obviously not. But that's your family. Those are the people that you should go to and say, hey, I've got an idea, or I need help, or I would love a mentor, or I want to run this by you, or I see that you are the CEO of a major company in line with what I want to do, and it would be a great contract opportunities. Let me run this by you. What are some steps and tricks? Yeah, it's just like any other group, but especially your family members, of course. Again, family business. Just don't abuse it. And then another must do, like I must do this on a daily basis, pursuing my dream, pushing it out there, birthing it out, whatever analogy suits you, that I have to do on a daily basis. So I've, you know, must do media, must contact business owners to try to get training engagements. Then I must contact alumni and other people in my network, just to network and to build solid relationships. Another thing that I must do is I must model what it is I'm telling others to do, right? And so I do get involved in my community. And it's a part of demonstrating what this could look like, what the link between family business and improving one's community could look like. I have to model that or you're not going to listen to anything I have to say. And it's not just me. You have to model whatever it is you're selling, right? If you're selling a service, you had better be an example of it. You better enjoy what it is you're selling or have someone in your family benefit from it. Same is true for products if you're, you know, I know some people in the fitness industry who are pitching products to try to improve the health of others. Well, are you a model of that? Are you drinking whatever it is you're selling on a daily basis? Are you participating in a program, taking exercises on and on as you are wanting others to do? And so you have to, as one of my must-have fives on a daily basis, is some activity that allows me to demonstrate what it is that I'm seeking and want others to do. For me, as a family business owner, expert, and mentor, I want as many families starting businesses, and then I want those families going out into the community and improving the lives of others through service, through generosity, through their time, energy, on and on and on. And you could just take little steps, little steps, little steps. You could be broke today. Look, I know what it's like to be broke, okay? I know what it's like. And in future episodes, I will tell you all about it. But even in that state of being broke, I was pursuing my dreams. And you still work towards it. You do what you are able to do, and you're pushing it consistently, consistently. And one day, it really does begin to bubble up and bubble over. Your family works out the kinks. You test out the communication issues, and you tweak the products here and there, or the idea. And it's like, you do further research, and you find better ways. But you won't do that if you're not constantly working on it day to day. You have to tweak it. It's like science, which I love. I'm a huge fan of science, by the way. I had to take a lot of organic chemistry and science subjects when I was a pre-med student. But